for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Every week, Steve will give us timely tips for caring for our plants. He'll answer your questions and give us expert advice. Now here's a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Good morning. We're here on what's probably going to be a pretty decent Saturday morning, especially compared to the rest of the week.
Well, there's no snow in the forecast.
Yes. In fact, it's kind of the opposite for next week.
Yeah, I was just looking at the extended forecast, and actually Tuesday, I think, very unusual. I think Tuesday they're calling for a high of 82, but Monday night, obviously prior to that, that's the lowest nighttime temp I see for the next like 10 days, which is 37. So that's quite a swing there, temperature-wise, but there's no snow, thank God. There's no freezing temperatures in the forecast. 37 is the low that they're calling for, as far as I can see so far. The frost-free date for this part of Ohio is supposed to be May 15th. And last year, I think it was May 10th or May 11th, we had a really hard killing frost. It was, I think the low temp that night a year ago was, I'm going to say right around 24 degrees.
Ooh, that's cold.
Which damaged a tremendous amount of plants, specifically roses, hydrangeas, and Japanese maples.
And probably a few fruit trees.
And probably a few. Yeah, actually flowering wasn't bad overall last year. The big question, this week obviously was the intense snowstorm that we had. I've heard anywhere between 2 and 4 inches of snow in our area, obviously all collecting on the grassy areas. The hard surfaces of concrete, asphalt, things like that were significantly warm enough that it never really stuck. Had a lot of questions this week in regards to the snow and the temperatures that we had. And as near as I can tell, and there's still maybe a little bit of damage kind of show up, pop up here or there, but for the most part, the lowest temperature that I had heard of or seen or that I'd kind of kept track of was 28. And although, yes, that is freezing, obviously, the temperatures weren't quite as low as what they were anticipating earlier, I think. And so, yes, we did have a significant amount of snow, but overall, the plants weren't severely damaged or even significantly damaged because we were, I think one night the low was 30 or 31, and then the next night was 28. And so, again, both of those nights were in obviously freezing, but you got to get down in it, and a few degrees makes actually a really, really, really big difference. 28's fine. Most plants are going to tolerate that perfectly fine. When you get below 25 or below, that's when you're going to have very, very, very significant damage. And that's what we saw last year with that real late freeze. Again, Japanese maples were nearly completely leafed out and they were doing their spring thing. And it just was dramatic, the amount of damage I saw on the Japanese maples. And like I said, hydrangeas and roses were hit pretty hard too, but they just had some tip dieback. So yes, the ends of the branches, the very ends, maybe 2 to 4 inches were damaged, but you could trim them back and they recovered relatively quickly. But overall, I don't think the cold weather that we had this last week is going to cause a lot of long-term problems. It may have abbreviated some of your flowering of your crab apples, possibly abbreviated some of the flowering with your tulips, and some of your flowering bulbs may not last quite as long as they should have. But overall, as far as significant issues, I did not see any due to the cold. Now, what I did see an awful lot of was usually don't have that kind of a snowfall this late, early. What is it? Is it late or early? Early. Early season.
Early in the spring, late in the
late in the snow season.
Somebody said that the first snow of the year is always magical. Well, this was the first snow of the year. It's not October.
Well, no,
we
had some in January.
So, you know, any
February, I guess.
So yeah, this was quite an unusual snowfall.
And if you do ever want to know when the first snow fell in the fall, ask Rich Yakish. He keeps track of it every year.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yep. He keeps track of that.
All right. Well, it's good that he keeps himself busy in retirement.
Well, yeah. He could get in a lot of trouble. But June won't let him.
Again, the temperatures didn't cause a lot of issues for us. I'm certain of that. But what I did notice was, with all the trees being partially, I mean, none of them are really fully leafed out at this point, but a lot of them are partially leafed out, maybe a third to a half to three quarters leafed out. All that snow was pretty heavy, and it kind of stuck to everything if you were up early. It actually was kind of pretty. There's a lot of things flowering, like red buds and flowering crab apples, and to have all that white snow hanging on it was unusual. I've been in the nursery business since 1989, and I've never seen a spring with that much snow that late, and the way it hung on the branches and stuff, and having color showing with the forsythias and the red buds and the some lilacs are starting to bloom, and the flowering crab apples, it was really unusual, and I took some really cool pictures. But that did create a lot of issues with the weight of the snow and all the foliage on the trees. I mean, obviously in the wintertime or late fall, when trees are completely defoliated, snow weight can be an issue, but it's unusual because there's nothing really there for the snow to grab a hold of.
Just the limb is all that has to grab a hold of with the leaves.
Right. In this snowfall, there was a tremendous amount of foliage out, and there was a tremendous amount of flowering going on with your ornamental pears and your flowering crabapples. So it really damaged a lot of trees. And the one tree that was hit the hardest was the one we talked about last week was the flowering pears. And they have a horrible branching habit to begin with, and so the fact that they have really narrow crotches and really weak branching, a real weak branching structure, they just fell to pieces. I mean, I saw a lot. I had a client that lost a huge flowering pear, and it was planted really close to his house, and no, I didn't plant it there, but I'd take care of his landscape after somebody that didn't know what they were doing planted it there. And he was super fortunate in that when it did go, it fell away from the house, because if it would have fell into the house, it wasn't that big a tree that it would have knocked his roof in, but it certainly would have taken down soffit, spouting, fascia, all that stuff would have come down with it. So, you know, we had a little bit of cleanup to do there, and then obviously he wants, you know, some things redesigned and replaced due to that. And I did look at a lot of mostly flowering pears and trees that were weak or had really, really poor branching habit to begin with. The snow, you know, kind of exacerbated that particular problem, and, you know, just a lot of significant damage branches to be picked up. And in some cases, those flowering pears, when they go, there's really not a lot left of them, and there might be a branch or two that's left. But when those big center branches fall out or peel out like they do, the tree's so ugly at that point, you just end up cutting it off. So again, we talked about last week, I believe, the flowering pears and how they've Ohio ODA, Ohio Department of Agriculture, has moved those into an invasive species class that you're not supposed to buy, sell, or plant them. That's one of the reasons, obviously, they're invasive, and then they're a really short-lived tree anyhow. So they get into fence rows, waterways, and natural areas. And
I believe last week you
take over.
Mentioned that they were not supposed to propagate when they were... They were supposed to be
sterile
trees,
yep.
And they aren't.
Mother Nature finds a way.
Yes. So
yeah, that yeah. Again, you know, there's a lot better trees out there, and there's a lot of you know, flowering trees and ornamentals and natives that you can and should plant that are going to last you more than a lifetime, more than a one of our lifetimes. When you're planting trees, you know, you should be looking at, depending on the variety, you know, 25 to, you know, some oaks can live 400 and 500 years, and so you need to look at the location and pick a good variety, and if you plant it and take care of it, it's going to last forever. Yep. So we need to take a break.
Yep, we'll be back in just a minute.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. Run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. It features a hydrostatic transmission and is simple to maintain. The Kubota B-Series. It makes the hard work look easy. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Working hard on another project? Maybe you need some practical advice, or perhaps you just want to find a great new tool. Let me be the first to welcome you in. Hi, I'm Mike with Wrangler Hardware, and since 1916, this has been the place where the hardworking folks in our area go to get things done. Experience the tradition, selection, and service of Wrangler Ace Hardware in Fort Recovery. Stop in and see that we're more than a hardware store. It's all here.
Looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions, as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
This is RJ with the Win on the Wabash Super Raffle. Be sure to mark your calendars for this year's event, August 27th and 28th, 2021, to be held at Ambassador Park in Fort Recovery, Ohio. This year's event will feature the Friday night Toe and Go Raffle, as well as the Saturday Super Raffle. We're set to give away up towards $1 million worth of cash and prizes this year. All details can be found on our website, wowraffle.com. Don't miss out on the event of the year, the 2021 WOW Super Raffle, August 27th and 28th in downtown Fort Recovery.
Wow.
We're back. A Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone, and we've been talking about what happened with our snow and colder weather and some trees. And so go ahead, Steve.
Well, you know, again, I think we're past all of that mess. I had mentioned in the first part of the show, the extended forecast looks pretty nice. Getting a lot of people coming in, customers, you know, wanting to look at plants and annuals and buy plants. And, you know, all I can say is, I haven't put anything out yet, although I'm really antsy to get some color out in the landscape, but I haven't planted any annuals outdoors yet. But if you want to do pots, containers, things like that, hanging baskets that you can, you know, move and bring inside if we're going to have a really cold night, that's perfectly fine. As far as, you know, planting outdoors, you know, again, next week there's that Tuesday, I think I said, is going to be 80 degrees. So people are going to be, you know, really anxious at that point. I'd say you're probably fine. I don't like, you know, I don't want to recommend, you know, buying and planting stuff and then, you know, having damage and death with the plants, and then you have to replace them. But we're really close. I mean, I usually start planting all of my stuff, you know, right at the end of April, early May. And I've never been, well, last season, we did have some damage on some of the stuff that we had, that late frost. But, you know, again, we're to that point where if you want to start getting some things bought, you know, so they, you know, think business has been brisk and there's lots of people out there, you know, wanting to do, you know, last season was actually in the green industry overall, was a fantastic year for everybody that I'm friends with and all the articles I've read and all the magazines and groups I'm in, the green industry had a fantastic year last year with the the COVID thing and everybody staying home and not traveling. I'm assuming, people bought baskets and flowers and pots and containers and trees and shrubs because they were at home and they did notice things that were, neglected or things that could have been done to really spruce up their house and spruce up around their patio. I anticipate this season, being the same as far as people are out looking and shopping and looking at varieties and prices and everything. And so I don't want to tell you to wait because in a lot of cases, the neat varieties and stuff, the neat colors, the new varieties are always the plants that seem to go first. And we have a fantastic selection of, and Nikki's just done an unbelievable job. Nikki and Carly and the girls have just done an unbelievable job of getting the plants happy and healthy and growing. And we've never had a crop probably any better than the one we've got going right now. Again, just be careful if you do plant in the ground and you can't move them, make sure if we do get a night that's going to be 32 or 33 degrees, you have a sheet handy to throw over those plants. Or again, get all your plants bought and water them and keep them in the containers for the next few days, maybe till next weekend, and then go ahead and have at it as far as planting goes.
Yeah, you'll want to look at the long-term forecast if you can, but yeah, because if you see some days coming up where those nights are going to be chilly, then you want to still hang on to them inside. But
I think that's what Nikki's been recommending to most people is, if you got a pot or container, just watch the forecast and bring it indoors. And in some cases, you don't even have to bring it indoors. If it's out at the edge of a patio, just move it up real close to the foundation or right up next to the house or right up next to, the corner of a house or something, an inside corner. And it's going to be fine if it's, in the low 30s, that's not going to croak. But again, if you're doing some, larger plantings with, some different varieties of annuals, you want to be careful. But again, if you get them purchased early and keep them in the containers and then give yourself another few days, maybe a week before you plant them, you're going to be fine. Like I said, the frost-free date for Ohio, I said, is May 15th. Last year, we did have that late season hard freeze, but that was very, very, very unusual, almost as unusual as having 4 inches of snow in the middle of April.
Yes. So there are some weather apps where you can kind of get a general idea. Most of them don't go past 10 days, but you can kind of look out ahead, and if you see that the temperatures in the 60s to the 80s during the day and 40 to 50 at night on all of those days, you can probably assume the next few days after that are also going to be that way, probably, especially if you're anxious to get stuff in.
Absolutely. And the temperatures that you had mentioned, were absolutely, really ideal for getting plants established. You have those warm days and cool nights. That's actually really good. The plants will thrive. They'll grow. They'll root in. You have those warm days, and again, you have those cool nights, so you're not getting a tremendous amount of evaporation. So when you don't have to water as frequently. So that's, the reason getting your annuals planted this time of year, and then certainly putting in, trees, shrubs, any kind of woody plants around your house, landscaping wise, perennials, great time of year to do that because again, you are getting, some nice warm sunny days usually, and then you're getting, cool nights. And so the, when we do get some rainfall or, melted snow, I guess, the moisture stays in the ground for a long period of time. It doesn't evaporate rapidly. And so if you're doing a lot of new plantings, it's a great time to do that because watering is not, watering is critical anytime when you're putting new plants in, but you certainly have a lot more room for error in April and most of May because, again, you just don't have those consistent, hot, breezy, sunny days. If you put some plants in, and we'll landscape through the summer as long as you know, the client is aware that they have to water, you know, regularly. There are some instances when it's pretty warm and dry that, you know, you might have to water two or three or maybe even 4 days a week to keep, because you get such quick evaporation. You get hot, sunny days, so the plants transpire, they use the water up, and then the water evaporates out of the soil very quickly. That's why this time of year is so easy, because you could probably get by with watering maybe once a week, and that water is going to stay in the soil, and it's going to be easy and readily available for the plant to pick up. So early season planting, like right now, is really good. Soil temperatures have been on the rise, and I'm sure the snowfall kind of knocked those back a little bit. But again, with the extended forecast coming, with the warmer temperatures, that soil temperature is going to be in the 50s for sure, possibly, you know, after Tuesday, maybe getting close to 60 degrees. So you certainly are at the point where I would have to think that you probably are past the point of having any success with like a pre-emergent herbicide if you hadn't gotten your spring pre-emergent on. My guess is we're past an optimum time. Now, if you've bought it and you want to go ahead and apply it, that's perfectly fine. It's not going to hurt anything, because most of those pre-emergents come with a spring fertilizer, so you want to get that fertilizer down to help the turf fill in.
Yeah, but the pre-emergent may or may not.
The pre-emergent may or may not work, and I'd say at this point it's a little bit leaning towards the may not side.
Yep.
More yep. So than the may side.
But if it has the fertilizer in it, yep, and you bought it,
you definitely want to apply it. Something, you know, that granular material, no matter who the manufacturer is, you probably just want to go ahead and apply it, because if you try to save it to next season and then apply it, your efficacy or the way the herbicide is going to work is going to be minimal, if at all. The fertilizer is probably still going to be fine, but usually what happens is if you store it in the not so right spot, it's going to turn into a big log, and you're not going to be able to run it through your spreader efficiently or possibly even at all. So, you know, again, if you've already got it bought, go ahead and apply it. There are post-emergent products that you can put on for crabgrass and foxtail after you see it start to emerge. There are post-directive material or herbicides that you can use to wipe that stuff out and not damage your bluegrass. So at this point, I think we're probably, like I said, to a post-emerge type of a control. But if you have it, you know, by all means, go ahead and apply it. I think we need to get to a break.
Yep, we'll take a break and we'll be back with more from Steve Stone, A Walk Through the Garden.
Hi, this is Steve Stone from Nature's Green, and if you need any or all the quality products to get started on your lawn and landscape this spring, we have it at Nature's Green. Soils, mulch, flowers, vegetable plants, seeds, trees, shrubs, perennials, insecticides, fungicides, you name it, we have it. But most of all, we have the knowledge and expertise that will help you get through any project. Stop out and see us at Nature's Green and load up on everything you need, or we can deliver it. Just call us at 419-375-2322. Nature's Green, your landscape's best friend.
Proudly serving the Fort Recovery area for over 23 years, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has the expertise to handle any dirt work you need. From installing waterways and building pads to demolition work and septic system installation, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has all the equipment you need to get the job done right. Does your driveway need some fresh gravel, or do you need some dirt hauled in? We can take care of all your hauling needs as well. Give Brian a call at 419-852-6655. Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage. Go Indians.
It's grilling season, and Wayne Street Market has everything you need, from fresh vegetables to steaks. They have a no-limit meat sale with ribeye steaks for only $8.99 a pound. New York strips or flat iron steaks are $7.99, and T-bones are just $6.99 a pound, all perfectly trimmed and ready to go back by the meat counter. Assorted pork chops are $3.49 a pound, and grab some Swaggerty Farms bratwurst for only $3.99 a package, and Ettrich hot dogs are 2 for $3. If you haven't started grilling this spring, what are you waiting for? Get in on these great deals at Wayne Street Market, the best meat market around.
The Friends of the Library will be having a used book sale at the library the week of Monday, April 19th through Saturday, April 24th during normal library hours. Here's your chance to get a bargain on a nice selection of used books, audiobooks, and DVDs. Proceeds from the sale will be used to purchase materials and equipment for the library. Be sure to stop by and check out the bargains anytime the week of April 19th through 24th at your library during their used book sale. And donated items are being accepted now. Please be sure they're clean and in good condition, and textbooks, encyclopedias, magazines, and VHS tapes cannot be accepted. Head up to your library to find some treasures all next week during normal library hours.
Hey, we're back here with Steve Stone and walk through the garden, and we've been talking about what the snow may or may not have done in the trees and soil temperature and things like that. So what are we thinking in our last segment here,
well,
Steve?
Again,
we can continue on with what we've already been doing.
Listening to the forecast earlier in the week, I was, again, really concerned about the snow and more than that, concerned about the temperatures. And I honestly think, again, from being out and as busy as we have been, and I've been out to, I don't know how many, 20 or 30 different properties looking at projects, I don't think the snow and the cold, did us a tremendous amount of harm like I was anticipating, because I think originally they were calling for temperatures in the mid-20s, which, again, like I had mentioned before, kind of gave me a lot of cause for concern, because once you're at that 25-degree temperature and lower, it can create a lot of issues. But I think we certainly, dodged a bullet there. Again, nothing in the extended forecast that looks, bad. I was out on one particular client call, and they were they
was this an emergency home visit?
It wasn't really an emergency, but it was like, hey, can you come out and look at this? This looks really odd. And so I, went out and met the homeowner, and they were concerned about the way their lawn was looking. And long story short, I didn't take any pictures because I didn't want to be rude in front of them. But it was basically just a tremendous amount of frost damage. Not that the frost damage is the yard, but it was the fact that they had a lot of traffic with their kids and their pets.
Oh, yep.
And then I'm assuming by the looks of the lawn that the kids may have some sort of an ATV four-wheeler kind of a thing.
Yep.
And unless the dude was really drunk when he mowed.
I'll bet that isn't the case.
There was just lines all through the yard. And once I saw it, it was pretty obvious. Again, I know I had mentioned this on the air a couple of different times. When there's frost, on the grass, and the frost is not going to hurt the grass, but when the blades are actually, when you see that frost, in most cases, the blades are actually frozen.
Yeah.
And they'll, once the temperature warms up, they'll recover and they're perfectly fine. But when those blades are frozen, if you just, 180 pounds or 200 pounds or whatever you weigh, and you walk across the yard, or certainly you take a mower, four-wheeler, or anything like that.
Yeah.
And you get out and go flying through the yard, you probably are going to see that for a period of time.
Because it's actually breaking the grass.
The damage looked a little, it didn't look bad, but it certainly was very, 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 very noticeable. And I'm like, dude, you mow it twice. The next two times you mow, you're going to basically grow the problem out of the grass. It's not anything, but he was, really concerned about. He said, well, it looked so great when I mowed it the first couple of times. And I said, it's just frost damage. I said, keep the traffic off of it. If it's a frosty morning, keep the traffic off of it till 10:30. Don't mow, don't don't walk on it. Just stay off of it until it warms up, and then, have at it. So it was kind of funny, and it definitely had a again, the way the patterns were through the yard, it was pretty funny. But it, you know, again, looking at it, it was pretty easy to diagnose, but he couldn't figure out. And then once I pointed it out to him, he looked at it and goes, oh yeah, that kind of makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And he could see it at that point. So again, you know, I don't see any significant frosty days in the forecast, which is good. And you know, this season, and I don't remember all what happened last year temperature wise in the spring. I just know this season has been actually with the again, the cooler nights and some warmer days. We've had not a, I guess, a tremendous amount of rain. It's, I don't want to say it's been dry, but it certainly hasn't been really, really, really wet either. Bluegrass has just grown like gangbusters right now. I know I've had some really lousy spots in different places of my yard, and then I did a little bit of construction, and that really made a lot of real deep ruts and muddy paths through my yard that I've worked on tilling and raking and getting reseeded. But overall, the bluegrass is growing fantastic right now. So if you've got, because bluegrass is a cool season grass, and so it loves cool nights and warm days. So we've had a pattern of cool nights and warm days. And if you put some fertilizer down and get your grass seed down and do some watering to it, you're going to be amazed at how fast and how nice it comes up. And what's really cool is the existing stuff that's been there a while. I did a real late season fertilizer last fall, and I did a real early season fertilizer, like when it was still cold. It might have been February, and I was out there putting some, or late February, early March, and put some fertilizer down. And the areas that haven't been tracked over from the construction I did, the rest of the lawn is just, I mean, it is... it is just like a carpet. It is absolutely perfect. I wish I could keep it like that all summer, but as soon as it gets hot and dry and we get into June and July, it's going to start to kind of peter out and thin out a little bit, just because, you know, bluegrass does not like those 90-degree days or 88-degree days and 70-degree nights. It is much happier at a 75-degree day and a 45-degree night. But again, you know, getting a lot of questions in regards to weed control. And I think I touched on that last week, but I just every week get a lot of questions. If you've got a few weeds right now, broadleaf weeds in your lawn, I would just spot treat those. If, you know, with a little spray bottle, mix something up and just hit those few weeds that you've got. If you just have a few, and then do your carpet, your complete application, your carpet application, and where you're hitting everything, do that a little bit later in the spring, because you're just going to get a lot more control of more weeds. If you do and I had mentioned this again in the past couple weeks, if you do an early season complete broadcast application over your whole lawn, you're going to be getting all the weeds that you're seeing now, but you're also going to be missing a lot of weeds that are still yet to germinate and come up. So if you do an early season application, you know, you probably are going to start seeing, potentially could start seeing some significant weed issues, you know, through mid to late June. And then you really don't want to apply an application like that, broadleaf application, when the lawn's stressed, when it's kind of hot and dry through the summer. So then you're waiting to do that application, or you should wait to do that application then till fall when it starts to cool down. So point to the whole rambling story is, if you can wait another couple weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks and then do that application, you're just going to get a lot better control, and you're going to control a lot more weeds with that application.
That's pretty good. So spot treat now on what you see and wait.
Yep.
I'm
sure my neighbors think I'm crazy, like Kim Day, because he's usually mowing when I'm mowing. Because I do have a little spray bottle that I keep on my mower.
Oh, yep.
And I don't have it in a holster. My kids have told me I should have it in a holster. So
yeah,
I
probably should.
I can whip it out really fast. But I do have a little spray bottle on my mower. And if I see
it in your beer holder?
In my beer holder. In my beer holder, I carry 2,4-D. You just don't want to get that confused with your beer and take a swig of it.
No, that wouldn't work very well.
But yeah, I do have just a little spray bottle that I carry with me. And if I see, you know, problematic weeds like dandelions or thistle, and I'm flying by on the mower, I'll slam on the brakes and give that sucker a squirt and then keep going. So I'm sure all the crazy stuff I do with my lawn and landscape, I'm sure my neighbors could get together and have a few beers and make fun of me, but it's all good.
And admire your lawn while they're making fun of you.
Well, I'll tell you what, like I said, the addition I put on my garage is still bare. It's seeded, but I haven't watered it as frequently as I should have because I'm at work 7 days a week this time of year. It's coming up, but it's not coming up well. But the areas like in front of my house and my backyard that have been, you know, kind of untouched, I aerated late last fall and I did fertilization late last fall, and then I did fertilization this spring. And I, in a lot of cases, now I will probably this year because of all that new seeding that I've done, but I've got my lawn to the point where the turf is so dense, I usually don't do like a complete blanket application over the whole lawn. For broadleafs, it's just not necessary because the turf is so thick that I usually just don't have a lot. The only place I have issues with weeds would be the edge of the road, the edge of the driveway, the edge of the landscape beds where I don't have thick turf. The rest of the lawn, the turf is just so dense that I just don't have a lot of weed issues. So I shy away from doing those, you know, blanket applications because it's just simply not necessary. But it, you know, in most cases when you aren't as crazy about your lawn as me, you know, you need to do that blanket application to get rid of the clover. And chickweed's really bad right now. It's hard to explain on the radio, but
yeah.
Chickweed is a winter annual, and it germinates in the fall, and then it makes it through the winter, and then it comes out. It's a real wiry, low growing, real bright green weed, and for, again, whatever reason, it's really bad this spring, and I've seen that on the periphery areas around my yard. And I don't know, again, if my neighbor next door thinks I'm crazy, but every time I spot treat, I kind of spot treat a little farther into his yard. And so I'm going to say in the next 10 years, I probably is going to have his yard weed free too, because I sneak over every time. I just go a little bit farther with my little sprayer, and I'm starting to get his weeds under control as well. So
because they're going to germinate and blow into your yard.
Well, that's exactly right. That's why I'm giving myself a buffer.
Yeah.
I want a buffer from the dandelions. So I keep spraying a little bit farther. And
well, when you get down to Barger Road.
I went too far?
Yeah. Probably have.
No, I'm going the other way. I'm going into Dave's yard.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think Dave complains too much.
No.
I just bought a grasshopper off of him.
If you're some random person coming along squirting stuff in his yard, he might not be appreciative of it. But when he knows that you know what's going on, I think he's okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good guy. So, well, I got to get to work. So, again, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. If you got questions, please call us. Email me, give us a call here at the station, email Neil, again, for questions and topics, you know, get something heading this way so we can hit it on air.
Yep. We'll see you next week. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for joining us again this week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. If you have a gardening question you'd like Steve to answer, just email him at steve@naturesgreennursery.com and he'll answer it on a later show. Be sure to join us again next week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone.